Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Wednesday on this 12th day of August, 2020. And I say, without fear of flattery or exaggeration, that I am interviewing today one of my favorite guests, somebody who's grown very near and dear to me as a friend, and someone who I pray that I have many years of fellowship awaiting us. He and his wife, his lovely wife Maureen. I'm speaking of Roger Salter, who is rector of St. Matthew's Anglican Church in Birmingham, Alabama. And we are going to be addressing today unconditional election and the little-known fact that Anglican martyr Thomas Cranmer structured the Reformed Church of England on divine predestination. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Roger Salter.
Well, as always, Chris, it's an immense, immense pleasure to be with you. And I'm always grateful for your hospitality, kindness, and patience.
Well, I just love having you on and look forward to many, many more interviews, as many as the Lord will permit. And before we go into our subject at hand, tell us about St. Matthew's Anglican Church in Birmingham, Alabama.
Well, we are a Reformed Anglican Church. You could describe us not in overestimating the value of the man, but we are Cranmerian in our liturgy and our theology, which means that we're countercultural, first of all, and we're not in line with sort of mainstream Christianity in a way. We're not saying that in any sense of being distinctive or superior. We just realize that for many folk, the old-fashioned gospel and the constitutional theological position of Anglicanism is something that's quite alien to modern minds now. But we're a small group now, and we actually share our building with a congregation of Reformed Baptists.
Yes, sir.
So we get a, yeah. There's very little between us. It's lovely to have the fellowship, and we feel as if, in a sense, we're one brotherhood.
Amen. Well, if anybody wants more information on St. Matthew's Anglican Church of Birmingham, you can go to STM, which stands for St. Matthew's, stmanglican.weebly.com, stmanglican.weebly, W-E-E-B as in boy, L-Y.com. You can also go to rogersalter.com. That's rogersalter.com, and his last name is spelt without the P, as many of you might have immediately thought of spelling it because of the Old Testament hymn book that we have there in the scriptures, known as the Psalter. And we are just so thrilled to have Roger back, as I was saying. And in fact, I think that our listeners should also know about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Birmingham, the aforementioned Reformed Baptist Church that shares a building with St. Matthew's in Birmingham. Todd Wilson is the pastor, and their website is gracecovenantbaptist.org. gracecovenantbaptist.org. I figured I'd throw that out there. And we have discussed on this program, since I happen to be a Calvinist, anybody who knows me or knows the program, that is probably one of the first things they think of is the fact that I am a diehard, dyed-in-the-wool, thoroughgoing, unapologetic, unabashed 5-point Calvinist. And I have brought up the subject and have interviewed on this program guests who have dealt with and focused on the subject of unconditional election before. But I think this is specifically the first time we've addressed it from a unique perspective, and that is the history of the Anglican Church, and even more specifically, from the viewpoint of the great hero of the Reformation, the English Reformation, that unfortunately is very rarely discussed outside of Anglicanism, and even more specifically outside of Reformed Anglicanism. I'm speaking of Thomas Cranmer, somebody that should be viewed as a hero not merely by Anglicans, but on anyone who loves the gospel of the Reformation, whether you are an Anglican, a Reformed Baptist, a Presbyterian, a Congregationalist, a Dutch Reformed Christian, or whatever branch of the Reformation you claim to be an heir from. People should get to know more about Thomas Cranmer. And after the show's over, I strongly urge you to go to the Iron Sharpens Iron website and click on past shows, podcast, and then in the search engine, type in Cranmer, C-R-A-N, as in Nebraska, M as in Mary, E-R, Cranmer. The N goes before the M, just like Cranberry. The N goes before the B in Cranberry, but just keep that might enable you to remember how to spell it, because I have frequently misspelled Cranmer, putting the M first by mistake. The M is in Mary first by mistake. But he is a fascinating figure from church history. Before we go into the more specific role of Cranmer and the structuring of the Reformed Church of England and the Book of Common Prayer that you are going to be deriving some of your information from today, please, if you could, define unconditional election for our listeners, especially for the sake of those who are outside of our theological circles and may not be completely familiar with the term, or they may completely misunderstand it because they've been told slanderous things about it that don't even resemble the truth of history or scripture.
Well, of course, I like to think of election, predestination, however, foreordination, however it is signified, as electing love. The idea being that all those whom God saves and brings to himself have been chosen in Christ before creation. I know that there's no... I won't go into the nature of time and eternity, but it does mean that before we were born, before we existed, we were already favorably considered in the mind of God as those who are his chosen ones, his elect. And that means that through his gospel, the general call of the gospel, another call, an effectual call, reaches the heart and mind of those who hear, who are among Christ's chosen ones, the ones the Father gave to him and promised to him as a consequence of his redemptive work. The elect are already secure in the divine intention to express electing love to them. When it's God's time of choosing through the means that he selects, it means that we have this, I think of it more in a pastoral sense, and certainly not a speculative sense, It means that we were in the mind of God from all eternity, cherished, desired, and it was God's intent to draw us to himself through his Son and to prepare us through a life of trial and suffering and labor for an affinity with God, so that we are compatible with his nature, made holy, and can dwell with him everlastingly. So this election precedes any response from us. It gives us the capacity to respond to the invitation of Christ. It promises us a new heart, a new will, a new mind that makes the desire of Christ genuine within us. And so we are called to faith, which brings us into a real and actual union with the Savior. So we're chosen in Christ. We are associated with him from all eternity in the purpose of God. In time, we are called. Throughout our life on earth, we are preserved. And when our life comes to its conclusion, as whatever time God has allotted to us, we are secure in that eternal love forever and ever without end.
Amen. And one of the reasons why we who are Reformed and Calvinists use the term unconditional election is because of one of the very reasons that you mentioned in your description, that this divine election, this predestination, occurs before any thought, action, response from the human, whereas those who are outside of the Reformed faith, who believe nonetheless in the inerrancy of Scripture, they have anywhere from an expertise to a cursory knowledge of the Scripture, or somewhere in between. They know that election and predestination are in the Bible. They know that this is something that is taught there. But they, according to us, obviously, are incorrect in the way that they exegete those passages. But they believe, for the most part, that God elects people by the condition, or because of the condition, that those who he knows will in the future have faith in him and believe in him and follow him. And so it is one of those situations where they believe God is looking through the corridors of time, and since most outside the Reformed faith, with the exception of some heretics that believe in what is known as open theism, they believe that God knows all things in the future, and it is on the basis of that knowledge that he chooses some and bypasses others. But we who are Reformed believe that the Bible does not teach that at all. And that would mean that men were electing God and not the other way around. Does that make sense, what I just said, Roger?
Absolutely, Chris. It's not due to anything whatsoever, any qualification or potential within the elect ones. It's nothing to do with our personality or anything that we happen to be. It is, in fact, we're in solidarity with a sinful world, and the election separates us from that world and calls us out. So it is a love that, from our point of view, has no cause. The cause is in the mind of God, and there's nothing in us that attracts him, and there's no possibility of merit or desert on our part. It is purely the choice of God in his own sovereign will to call out certain people for himself. And therefore, Chris is using the right term. It is unconditional. It is free. It is sovereign. But it is beautiful because it is the wonderful expression of divine mercy and compassion in his Son, Jesus Christ.
Well, I'm going to give out our email address for the sake of those who are listening who would like to send in a question to Roger Salter about anything in regard to the Anglican Church. We will broaden the spectrum of the subject matter on which we welcome you to join us in the conversation, but we would be especially pleased if you were to send in questions specifically on the doctrine of unconditional election and how it ties in with the history of the Anglican Church, and specifically with Archbishop Thomas Cranmer, who was the Archbishop under the reign of King Henry VIII, although, and I believe I may have asked you this before, but I think it bears repeating, the world-renowned Anglican scholar, who is a Thomas Cranmer scholar, Ashley Null, Dr. Ashley Null, who is teaching in Berlin, I have interviewed him a number of times, and that would include discussions on Cranmer, since he has actually written on Cranmer. But he said that it is clearly evident from history that although Cranmer was King Henry VIII's archbishop, he did not view Henry as a regenerate Christian until his deathbed, when he asked Henry if he believed in justification by faith alone, to squeeze his hand, and Henry did, and Cranmer embraced that as a reason to have confidence and hope that Henry finally had his eyes opened by the sovereign grace of God and became a born-again believer before departing this earth. So would you share that account as being valid?
Absolutely, Chris. I think it's a wonderful story, and it affects me deeply. And I can add to that, John Whitgift, who was Queen Elizabeth's chaplain when he was Archbishop of Canterbury, the same thing occurred with him when Elizabeth was dying. And she, too, had lost the power of speech. And Whitgift said to her, "My lady, if you are trusting in the blood shedding alone, the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, squeeze my hand." And she did. So that kind of thing happened twice. And I think it's a beautiful link between the father, the king, and Elizabeth, his daughter, the great Protestant queen. Delightful stories.
And it's also interesting, fascinating to me, that Cranmer, before his act of cowardice when Rome ascended into power again after the death of King Henry VIII, where Cranmer denied the faith, but later, thankfully, he recanted his recantation and bravely marched to his own execution and told the executioner to thrust his hand into the flames first, the very hand that signed his recantation of Reformed theology, which he did initially as an act of cowardice. But it's interesting that before that, Cranmer was so dedicated to the truth that he very boldly structured the Church of England and clearly taught, and including in his 39 Articles of Religion, made it clear that he believed in the Reformed faith and believed that that is the biblical faith, and believe that should be the faith of Anglicanism, even though Henry was, for all intents and purposes, a Roman Catholic in his theology at the time, other than his denial of the primacy of the Pope, obviously, because that was the key area of his departure from Rome, was that he wanted no one above him in authority. Am I explaining things correctly here?
Yes, and I think there were a number of conversations between Cranmer and Henry over the matter of election, which is quite interesting. And when he was craven, in a sense, cowardly, who wouldn't be facing, you know, the stake, the fire of, you know, that was going to take your life, I think the fact that he recanted and then recanted again made his confession at the stake immensely more powerful than if he hadn't, you know, withdrawn his He didn't mean to withdraw. He'd been for months under the pressure of punishing prisoners and harsh prison conditions. He'd seen his colleagues burnt at the stake. They really weakened him terribly, and that was intentional because they knew if they could conquer Cranmer's will, they could do a great deal to impede the progress of the English Reformation.
Well, we have a listener question, and I think that he really asked some excellent questions that I would have asked myself to begin our specific questioning on Cranmer's views on predestination. We have Donald from Jacksonville, North Carolina, and he has a somewhat humorous, but even I would say a very true sentiment that he signs off his email with, that I would say a hearty amen to. He says, "Make Reform theology great again." And then he adds something that would be near and dear to your heart as an Anglican: "Make old prayer book churchmanship great again." And then he has, "Make Anglican cathedral tradition music great again."
Yes, yes. And I think I have an idea as to who Don is.
Well, I'm sure he wouldn't mind if I gave his full name, Donald Philip Veitch, and I may be mispronouncing
Absolutely.
His last name.
Absolutely. We attended an Ashley Null lecture here together in Birmingham a couple of years ago.
Oh, wow.
It's lovely to hear from Don. Most encouraging and refreshing.
Well, he opens up by asking, looking for Dr. Cranmer's explicit views on predestination.
Yes. Could I have permission from you, Chris, if we tackled this throughout the course of this interview, not all in one go, but if I divide the Article 17 on predestination and election from the confession at the back of the prayer book?
Sure.
If I could read each paragraph.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And comment on it. I mean, I don't want to in any way steer, you know, things away from what you might have in mind.
No, you are by far more of an expert, especially since I'm not an expert at all on this subject, so I believe that you should take the reins here. And obviously our Anglican listeners are going to be most interested in the connection to the prayer book. In fact, perhaps you could even, before citing from the prayer book, explain exactly what prayer book churchmanship is. Why is the prayer book so important to you? And I know that it even has caused division from those that shared Anglican roots and so on. Yes. But if you could.
I mean, the articles especially are now regarded as museum pieces by the majority of contemporary Anglicans, but it was intended to be a confession of faith, and I think I might be right in saying that it was the first written Protestant confession of faith. And from that emerged the Irish Confession under Archbishop Usher, and the Irish Confession was the template, as it were, for the Westminster Confession. But Dermot McCummett, or Diarmid McCulloch, is the other great expert on Cranmer as a historian. He makes it obvious he doesn't agree with Cranmer, but he is very honest in declaring the kind of man and the kind of faith that Cranmer had. And in a book of essays, All Things Made New, he has said this on page 276 about Cranmer. His theology was structured by predestination, a theological concept which Anglicanism has on the whole decided to treat with caution. And so he would have been shocked by the idea of the via media between Rome and Protestantism. He was somebody who was thoroughly reformed, a correspondent with Calvin, and like Calvin, equally committed to the doctrine of predestination.
And let maybe it bears a little bit of clarification or explanation.
Yes.
The Via Media, or Via Media, depending upon where you live, how to pronounce that. The middle way, some would say that's specifically talking about an effort to appease polar opposites within Anglicanism, both those on the Romish side and those on the evangelical side. And others would have said that the more correct way to view the Via or Via Media is between Lutheranism and Calvinism. You were specifically addressing the middle way approach by some Anglicans, by many Anglicans, when it comes to the extreme differences on the Romish or Oxford movement side and the evangelical side.
Yes, that's the popular misconception, and it's certainly totally alien to where Cranmer would have been. But can I just read two or three little quotes from McCulloch's on Cranmer?
Yes, of course.
Okay.
While you're looking it up, I'm going to repeat our email address, chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And by the way, Donald, our listener who sent in the question from North Carolina, has corrected me in my pronunciation. His last name is pronounced Veach.
I'm ready, Chris.
Okay, go ahead.
He's talking about, you know, radicals and conservatives, etc., within the Church of England. And I'll just read the crucial quote from this large paragraph. This may be a cause of embarrassment to later commentators who do not wish to see Cranmer as he was. But Thomas Cranmer, theologian without the doctrine of predestination, is Hamlet without the Prince of Denmark. So that's pretty straightforward.
Amen.
And yeah. And then going back to some earlier pages, here we are. Complementing his exposition of the mature Augustine was also the proposition which had been present in Cranmer's arguments with Henry VIII in 1538. Predestination. In the end, in the 1540s, Cranmer could make the marginal comment on his excerpts from Augustine that no one of the predestined can perish and no one not predestined can be saved. Again, in a comment soon afterwards, any tie between human merit and source of human fate is cut. God gives grace, not because we deserve it, but because he wishes to. The print's small, so it's a bit difficult for me to read it clearly, Chris, but there we are. There are two quotes from McDermott on the predestinationism of Cranmer, and I don't need to read any more, I think, to make it clear that that's where he stood. And later on in the book, it said that he was one with Calvin in that doctrine of predestination. They wrote to each other. They were in cordial relationship via correspondence. So our church, and I'll say it, is Calvinistic by constitution. Calvinism in the broadest sense, not just following Calvin, but all those who were exponents of sovereign grace. And so Cranmer is somebody who had strong convictions theologically, but he was very cautious. He pondered things for a great deal of time. People thought he was slow, if not a bit dull. But when he came to a conclusion, he stuck to it. And in that way, he's a very good guide for Anglican theology, even though during the time of the rise of Anglo-Catholicism, the knowledge of Cranmer was suppressed deliberately. Hooker was elevated to being the great, you know, founder and organizer of Anglicanism, but he was Calvinistic too, and that's often denied by people who look to Hooker. He was as Calvinistic as Cranmer and Calvin just a little more cautious and guarded in the way he expressed his conviction. But if I read the first paragraph, if there's time, Chris, of the article on predestination and election, that might arouse some comments or questions from people, but it's very scriptural, and it's commended very highly by Archbishop Ryle as what he thinks is the wisest way of expressing this doctrine. So it says, predestination to life is the everlasting purpose of God, whereby before the foundations of the world were laid, he hath constantly decreed by his counsel, secret to us, to deliver from curse and damnation those whom he hath chosen in Christ out of mankind, and to bring them by Christ to everlasting salvation as vessels made to honor. Wherefore they which be endued with so excellent a benefit of God be called according to God's purpose by his Spirit working in due season. They through grace obey the calling, they be justified freely, they be made sons of God by adoption, they be made like the image of his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. They walk religiously in good works, and at length, by God's mercy, they attain to everlasting felicity. First paragraph.
In fact, we have to go to our first break right now, and we'll pick up right where you left off. If anybody would like to join us on the air with a question, we still have a couple of questions from Donald in Jacksonville, North Carolina, that I'd like to read to you. They're so good that I didn't want to skip any of them. But if any of you would like to join Donald on the air with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. We'll be right back with more of Roger Salter right after these messages from our sponsors.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I have been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jansen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Here's what Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, had to say about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio recently.
Good to be back, Chris. I always enjoy our time. I have to say you're one of the better interviewers out there, and I've been doing this for more than 30 years.
Wow, that's some compliment. How much do I owe you for that?
you don't have to owe me anything, so we're in good shape.
I'm glad you said it on the air, so I don't have to brag about myself. Tell your friends and loved ones about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, airing live Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time at ironsharpensironradio.com.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Brandon Scalf of Cruciform Bible Church in Indianapolis, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chris Hatton of Grace Chapel in Sanford, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Jack Wilkie, minister of the Forney Church of Christ in Forney, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Mike Wachowski of Westminster Chapel in Ball Ground, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Cooley of Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston, Massachusetts, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Brock Evans from Wading River Baptist Church in Wading River, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Lasser of Crestview Baptist Church in Big Spring, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB and tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com, that's nasbible.com, to place your order.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S drugs.com.
www.ccrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gaddy. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And we have as our guest today for the full program, Reverend Roger Salter, rector of St. Matthew's Anglican Church in Birmingham, Alabama. We are addressing the theme Unconditional Election and the little-known fact that Anglican martyr Thomas Cranmer structured the Reformed Church of England on divine predestination. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. If you have a question for Roger on this or a broader spectrum of issues involving Anglicanism, Calvinism, etc., and our email address again is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Always give us a first name, at least your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Let's say you disagree with your own pastor over what we are discussing, or you yourself are a pastor or a rector of a church, and you disagree with majority in your own congregation, or your fellow elders, or your bishop, or however that would work. We understand that you would not want to draw attention to your identity, so you may feel free to remain anonymous. But if it's a general question, please at least give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence. Before I return to a couple of more of Donald Veach's questions, Donald Veach from Jacksonville, North Carolina, who's written some excellent questions here that are very pertinent to the discussion, since he is an Anglican also. If you could, let our listeners know, because a lot of Anglican buzzwords, buzz phrases, vocabulary is totally foreign to those outside of Anglicanism. So exactly what is the prayer book, and why do many Anglicans get so passionate over which prayer book you use?
Well, it's a big question, Chris. I want to go back to a memory I have of being in London in the National Portrait Gallery a couple of years ago, and there's a huge portrait of Thomas Cranmer, and he's sitting by a table, and there are two books on that table. And one is the New Testament, and the other is a writing of St. Augustine. And if you look at St. Augustine and the legion of people who followed Augustine's teaching on the doctrine of grace prior to the Reformation, and then the Reformation itself was the resurgence of pure Augustinianism, you will find that the whole of that prayer book is fashioned on the basis of electing love, the sovereign love and mercy of God, which means that we have total reliance upon him, total trust in him, an immense gratitude to him, and our prayer book cultivates a deep love for God when we consider his free mercy. We don't think of election so much as in the negative, what's happening to those who are non-elect. We realize that if there was no election at all, none of us would come to Christ because of our evil nature and our will captive to sin and under the dominion of Satan. It is the nature of man to hate God and Christ. So if there were not an election, we must work on the basis of grace, the love of God which is gracious towards us and causes us, by inclining our will, by bending our will, to desire the Lord Jesus Christ in all his beauty and holiness and mercy. And so all of this comes through in the content of the liturgy in our prayer book, especially our collects, the special prayer for each Sunday. They are all showing our total reliance upon God, then delineating those features of God's character that cause us to call upon this wonderful and merciful God, and then that affirmation that what God has promised he will give to those who seek him. The whole of the liturgy has that leaning, that color, that it is emphasizing our total dependence upon the mercy of a sovereign God who has invited us to call upon him for mercy. We have no claim upon him whatsoever, no room for negotiation, but he has given us the grounds, and even if I can put it this way, the arguments to present to him as to why his mercy will be bestowed upon us. We are utterly, utterly reliant upon his grace. Everything in the liturgy presses home that wonderful truth, that fundamental truth. And then we have what is called the ordinal. Our ministers are ordained to the service of the gospel, and what their calling is, and the warrant they have for fulfilling it, which is to preach the word of God as it is, and to counter everything that runs in opposition to the word of God. The fundamental call of the Anglican minister is to preach the word of God. And then finally, we have our confession of faith, the 39 articles. These are our constitutional documents. They're all bound together in one volume, which for convenience we call the Book of Common Prayer. But they're all anchored in the doctrines of Scripture. We could say, to narrow the definition down a bit, they're all thoroughly Pauline, which is not to exclude all the other contributors to sacred writ, and they are all affirmations of what Augustine stood for in his time. As somebody said, it was Paul who wrote these doctrines, and Augustine who heard them, and he conserved them and presented them to the church, preserved them so that the people of God could follow the Doctor of Grace, as Augustine is known, in his loyalty to these truths, and the immense comfort they bring. It's a pastoral doctrine, not something for speculation, because it can only be discerned in Christ and our relationship with him. We are chosen in Christ, not because we come to him, but because he has come to us at the bidding of the Father, called us to himself. He thanks the Father for giving us to him, and now he bestows redemption upon us day after day as he brings us nearer to our eternal dwelling with the Lord. So these are the three parts of the Book of Common Prayer. They are very biblical. The worship is usually, and I couldn't say what percentage, I'll say 80%, because that would be modest. It is Scripture adapted to public worship.
And the origins would also find their root in Cranmer as well. And of course, I know that you believe that there are biblical roots in this, in regard to the teaching, but as far as the human roots of the Book of Common Prayer.
Did you say Jews?
I said Cranmer.
Yes.
Is Cranmer the author of the original Book of Common Prayer?
No, he took a lot of the prayers from the monastic services from, you know, those times prior to the Reformation, adapted them to exactly fit the gospel and the word of God. These are the heritage that great and godly people have left to us, and Cranmer has adapted it and reshaped it, but he also had great skill as a liturgiologist.
But he compiled it.
Yes, he compiled it.
And why is there such passion in regard to which Book of Common Prayer, which year, which revision people use? There seems to be sharp disagreement among Anglicans in this regard.
Yes, some of the revisions dilute the doctrines of grace, the teaching of Scripture. They evacuate the liturgy of the strong biblical content of Cranmer. When you read Cranmer, it is strong, it is biblical, it is stirring, it is encouraging, it captures the heart because it's true. And, something's just come up on my phone, Chris, it distracted me. But the love for the prayer book is again, not some form of bibliolatry, but because it confirms so much with Scripture and is a companion and a guide and a pastoral source of comfort and strength, resistance to temptation, inducements to holiness.
Now, which prayer book do you use as far as the year? If you were to ask somebody, which prayer book does your Anglican congregation use, what would bring a smile to your face in regard to the answer?
Well, you know, after years, when I didn't like 1662, when I was at college, I hated going to chapel when we were doing Cranmer. And I always liked the alternative service book, the 1980 modern version at the time. Over the years, and particularly as one continues to do what every ordained Anglican is meant to do, is to go through the service of morning prayer every morning, I have grown so accustomed and so wedded to Cranmer because of the strength and truth of his liturgy. So that's my favorite. But I realize that in these days, people need an introduction, if they want it, to liturgical worship. And we use the prayer book, our Preservation Society's contemporary version of 1662.
We have to go to our midway break right now, and if you want to just pick up where you left off, that'd be fine when we return. And if you'd like to ask Roger Salter a question, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Please be patient with us, as this is our longer than normal break in the middle of the program, because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break so that they can air their public service announcements and other things in the middle of the show, which is a requirement of the FCC to localize this show to Lake City, Florida. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Roger Salter after this station break. So please don't go away.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group.org/podcast.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and the Dividing Line webcast here. Although God has brought me all over the globe for many years to teach, preach, and debate at numerous venues, some of my very fondest memories are from those precious times of fellowship with Pastor Rich Jensen and the brethren at Hope Reformed Baptist Church, now located at their new beautiful facilities in Coram, Long Island, New York. I've had the privilege of opening God's Word from their pulpit on many occasions, have led youth retreats for them, and have always been thrilled to see their members filling many seats at my New York debates. I do not hesitate to highly recommend Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, to anyone who wants to be accurately taught, discipled, and edified by the Holy Scriptures, and to be surrounded by truly loving and caring brothers and sisters in Christ. I also want to congratulate Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram for the recent appointment of Pastor Rich Jensen's co-elder, Pastor Christopher McDowell. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net, or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, that you heard about them from James White on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more, and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnson@gmail.com. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402. Or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit solidrockremodeling.com. That's solidrockremodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Thrivent Financial is not your typical financial services provider. As a membership organization, we help Christians be wise with money and live generously every day. And for the fourth year in a row, we were named one of the world's most ethical companies by the Ethisphere Institute, a leading international think tank dedicated to the creation, advancement, and sharing of best practices in business ethics. Contact me, Mike Gallagher, financial consultant, at 717-254-6433. Again, 717-254-6433 to learn more about the Thrivent Difference.
We know we were made for so much more than ordinary life.
Lending faith, finances, and generosity. That's the Thrivent story.
We were made to thrive.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ today and always.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gotti. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart.
The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Was your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor, or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. Buttafuoco & Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit. Buttafuoco & Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. If you just tuned us in, our guest today is Roger Stalter, the rector of St. Matthew's Anglican Church in Birmingham, Alabama. And before we returned to our discussion with Roger on unconditional election and the little-known fact that Anglican martyr Thomas Cranmer structured the Reformed Church of England on divine predestination, before we return to that interview, we just have some important announcements to make. First of all, I hope that you, if you are able to get to Scranton, Pennsylvania, on the 28th and 29th of August, Friday and Saturday, the 28th and 29th of August, I hope that you will join me at the High Point Baptist Church, which is in Larksville, Pennsylvania, a suburb of Scranton. I hope that you will join me there for the conference being conducted by ACBC, which stands for the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors. This is a conference that is being led by Dale Johnson, the executive director of ACBC, and I am looking forward to manning an exhibitor's booth there for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, so I hope that you attend and that you greet me at the booth if you are there. The theme of the conference is the basics of biblical counseling, and the lectures that Dale Johnson will be giving include such subjects as the need for biblical counseling, the definition and goal of biblical counseling, progressive sanctification, qualifications of a biblical counselor, secular and integration theories, and what makes biblical counseling biblical. There will also be a Q&A session with the audience. You will be able to have your own voices heard and your own questions answered. And by the way, I had a really wonderful time interviewing Dale Johnson yesterday on this program. So if you go to the archive after this show is over at irontrepandzionradio.com and go to the podcast past shows section, if you type in the search engine there, Dale Johnson, D-A-L-E, Johnson, that interview will come up. I really highly recommend it. I hope you join me Friday night and Saturday all day until 5 p.m. That's Friday, August 28th and Saturday, August 29th at the High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania. And if you want more details on this event, there are two websites you can go to. First is biblicalcounseling.com/Scranton-PA-training. That's biblicalcounseling.com/Scranton-PA-training. And you can also go to High Point Baptist Church's website, which is the venue for this event, highpointbaptist.church. highpointbaptist.church. Also, folks, if you love this show and you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, we need your support financially in an urgent way. We lost our two largest financial supporters. I'm hoping it's just temporary, but we don't know that for certain. Because of the coronavirus pandemic hysteria, our two largest financial supporters had their businesses very seriously and negatively impacted, and that forced them to put any giving to Iron Trep and Zion Radio, any further giving, on hiatus, at the very least, if not permanently. So, can you please help us make up for that huge loss of income by going to IronTrepandZionRadio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card by doing so. You could also send in, via snail mail, a check the old-fashioned way if you prefer that. An address will appear on your screen when you click support at irontrepandzionradio.com, and you can mail your check made payable to Iron Trep and Zion to that address if that's what you prefer. You can also advertise with us as long as whatever it is you're promoting is compatible with what we believe. You don't have to believe identically with me, but you need to be promoting something that is at very least compatible with what I believe. I would love to help you launch an ad campaign immediately because we are also in urgent need of your advertising dollars. So send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put advertising in the subject line. Remember, folks, I don't want folks who listen to this show to hurt financially the church where you are a member. So please never siphon money away from your regular giving that you're accustomed to your local church in order to benefit Iron Trep and Zion Radio, in order to give to us. Please don't do that. And please don't put your own family in financial jeopardy if you're really struggling to make ends meet in order to give to Iron Trep and Zion Radio. Please don't do that either. Those are your two primary goals financially, your primary duties, and the primary commands in Scripture regarding your finances are to provide for your church and your family. Providing for my radio show is not a command of Scripture, obviously, but if you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, you are financially blessed because perhaps you've been saving money during the quarantining of the coronavirus pandemic. You have not been going out fine dining. You have not been going to concerts. You have not been going to your favorite sporting events. You have not been going to the movies. You have not been going to theatrical performances at theaters and playhouses. You have not been going to Bible conferences. Whatever the case may be that has you in a situation where you have extra money, collecting interest in the bank, perhaps. Well, please feel free to use some or all of that money to bless Iron Trep and Zion Radio financially, if indeed you want us to still exist, if you want us to continue airing. Go to irontrepandzionradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Also, folks, if you are not a member of a local Bible-believing church, and you're not even prayerfully looking for one, please rectify that situation immediately. Perhaps you have looked, but you weren't aware of any theologically sound churches where you live. No matter where in the world it may be, I may be able to help you because I have lists of biblically faithful, theologically sound churches all over the planet Earth. and I have helped many people in our audience find churches near where they live or where they are vacationing and they're looking for a church that they want to visit while on vacation, or if they have family and friends and loved ones who do not have a church home of their own, no matter where they live in the world. Send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Put "I need a church" in the subject line. And that's also the email address where you can send in a question to Roger Salter, the rector of St. Matthew's Anglican Church in Birmingham, Alabama. chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. And today we are addressing unconditional election and its role in church history of the Church of England. And I just want to give a shout out to those listening to this program via live streaming on the Twiss House Facebook page. I don't know if I'm mispronouncing that name, Twiss House or Tweese House, T-W-I-S-S-E House, but all of you who are listening, my greetings to you. I hope you are being blessed by the program. And Roger, if you want to pick up where you left off, that's fine, but we can continue on how important the doctrine of unconditional election is, the doctrine of divine predestination is to the history of Anglicanism. And I'll ask one more for now. Perhaps I'll return to Donald Veach's questions from Jacksonville, North Carolina, but he's written so many that I want to give others an opportunity to have their questions asked. But if we have time later, I'll return to some of Donald's questions. But I do want to ask one more question by him, because I think it is a matter of great controversy in the body of Christ and even among Reformed Christians. Donald asks, did Dr. Ashley Null actively affirm, and I think he probably meant does Dr. Ashley Null actively affirm, because he's still with us as far as I know, does Dr. Ashley Null actively affirm that Cranmer affirmed double predestination? I happen to be an unabashed, unwaveringly proud, if you will, believer in double predestination, but not necessarily the caricature or slanderously false version of it that people have conjured up in their minds or developed by reading the writings of enemies of Calvinism who misunderstand what double predestination means. But does Ashley Null affirm that Cranmer affirmed double predestination?
Hello, Chris. I don't really know where Ashley stands on that particular issue.
Well, how about your understanding of Cranmer? Did he believe in double predestination?
I think inevitably you have to in some form.
Yeah, I know.
If there's an election, a choice of people out of the mass of humanity, then it's obviously there's a passing by of others. It's how you define it.
Many have wrongly equated double predestination with equal ultimacy, where God is actively intervening on both sides of the spectrum, whereas if he did not intervene, we as Reformed Christians believe he must actively intervene to regenerate those who are lost in their sin and formed from the same lump of clay that the reprobate and the pagans are. He needs to miraculously and actively intervene in their lives and change their hearts. Whereas those who are lost, he does not need to do that. Hereby a denial of equal ultimacy, he does not need to do anything but leave people in their damned condition that they already find themselves in from the moment of their conception. So would I be right in that way of kind of distinguishing the true and false understanding?
Yes. I think we have to say, obviously, God is not the author of evil or sin. That is a product of fallen humanity under the inspiration of the evil one who dominates those who are not reborn. God restrains much of that evil. He adapts evil to his own purposes. That's how ingenious he is. He can bring so much good out of that which is ill-intended or disastrous. I think here at Handley, I have Jim Packer's little volume, Concise Theology, And I think for me, I'm not going to give a personal anecdote, but I'm almost tempted to.
You can feel free to.
Well, ever so quickly, Chris, when I came to a knowledge of the doctrines of grace, it was through reading Robert Murray McShane, and after that, reading George Whitefield. And the two ministers I'm thinking of are no longer alive, and they lived in another continent. I remember once we were going to visit a couple. The errand was a matter of church discipline. It was an illicit relationship. And I was sitting in the back of the car, and I heard these two ministers say, "It looks as though this pair are reprobates." And I was horrified at that suggestion, because as Jim Packer says, those who are not chosen for salvation through Christ are faceless. And he says we should view all persons we meet as possibly being numbered among the elect. That is why I say, I think, and this is not to tone down predestination at all, I have worked my way through things like supralapsarianism and infralapsarianism and speculated on election. I think you can only speak safely about it in terms of the grace of God through Jesus Christ. And it is looking to him in which you find the encouragement of your own election. Nothing to do with us, nothing to do with philosophy or science or any form of human speculation. You only understand election in the light of Christ, and as Calvin says, Jesus is it in his face that we see our election, because you know within yourself that your confidence is placed in him and your love is directed towards him. And as Sproul said, no unregenerate person can genuinely or honestly express any love towards the Lord Jesus. I think speaking about reprobation in very positive terms can be very harsh, very dismissive, very dangerous. It has to be a fact, because if there are elect, there are non-elect. But I'll read this little portion from Jim Packer in his Concise Theology. Reprobation is the name given to God's eternal decision regarding those sinners whom he has not chosen for life. His decision is in essence a decision not to change them, as the elect are destined to be changed, but to leave them to sin, as in their hearts they already want to do. In one sense, if I'm not misunderstood, election means that everyone gets what they want. Sinners don't want Christ. They don't want God. They want their sin. And that's what they're left to. That's their preference. That is the nature of the desire of their hearts. And believers get what they want because they're given a new heart, a desire for Christ, a love for him. So he says, this is what they want to do, to sin, and finally to judge them as they deserve for what they have done. And so when in particular instances God gives them over to their sins, removes restraints on their doing the disobedient things they desire, this itself is the beginning of judgment. It is called hardening, and it inevitably leads to greater guilt. I think to even begin to speculate as to whether anybody living is reprobate is contrary to the grace of the doctrine of electing love. I think of Spurgeon's expression, "Lord, save the elect and save more." We're not to speculate about numbers or arithmetic in this matter. It is purely grace of God given to us undeservedly through the merits of Christ, the sovereign choice of God, and the non-elect are simply left to themselves. I do not think that God raises any impediment to men coming to him because they've got enough impediments in themselves. So election doesn't hinder anyone from coming to the Lord. It ensures that some do. I have, strangely enough, a Methodist who is very strong on election, the great English Old Testament scholar Norman Snaith. And he says the gospel goes out to all. That is an act of grace. The gospel is a sincere invitation to trust in God for salvation. By nature, no one will positively answer that invitation. And so God says, and this is speaking in human terms, all right, I'll send out a second wave of grace, and this will ensure that those I have called and chosen from eternity will respond, and that's an effectual call. I very much fear what can happen in causing discouragement, even mental illness in people who hear the gospel, sensitive people, people with inferiority complexes or illnesses or some sort of, you know, mental flaw, will easily, under the influence of the evil one, conclude that they're non-elect. And the whole point of election is to say, God has chosen people, you come to Christ and you will be saved. And as J.C. Ryle says, and I quickly flip the page, because it is a real problem. I know there's reprobation. I know there are people who are left to their own devices, but that's what they want. But Ryle says, the Bible never says that sinners miss heaven because they are not elect, but because they neglect the great salvation and because they will not repent and believe. It's by their own will that they consign themselves to abandonment and perdition. That's me making this comment. The last judgment will abundantly prove that it's not the want of God's election so much as laziness, the love of sin, unbelief and unwillingness to come to Christ, and that is what ruins the souls of those who are lost. There is no way in which we can attribute anything cruel or unkind or sinful or unjust to the merciful God. And I think sometimes our speculation about election is attached just to a little bit of pride and moral superiority which characterize the Pharisees' attitude to election. We are somehow different and better than others. Election is an encouragement to people. I would say that if God left me to myself, I would be doomed forever. But he wouldn't let me pursue my own free will towards damnation or sin or gratification in sin. He put a barrier in my way. He put fear into my heart. He put delight in the Savior into my mind as I grew more accustomed to thinking about him and more deeply acquainted with him. Yes, it is God who stops us in our tracks and claims us for himself. But the others are left to themselves. That is God's decision. It's a very definite decision, but no one should use it as an excuse or a reason for not coming to Christ and trusting in him. We are called to look upon him just as Israel looked to the brazen serpent on the pole. Just look up in our need with our poisonous nature, the venom that the evil one has implanted in our hearts by his deceit of our first parents, and with that awareness of our lostness, our sinfulness, turn to the one who takes upon himself our evil and bears the consequences of it and delivers and liberates our hearts for the knowledge and joy in God. So I'm not in any way disagreeing with double predestination in a certain sense. It's logically unavoidable. But I don't think we put a lot of emphasis on it, just as the Bible doesn't. The Bible stresses our sinfulness and wickedness in history, our persistence in sinfulness, and our bearing the consequences of that false and fatal choice to just muddle along in our own ridiculous lostness, blindness, wickedness.
We do have an anonymous listener, and this is a good opportunity to remind our listeners, if you intend to remain anonymous or desire to remain anonymous, please put anonymous either in the subject line or in the very first word of your email or both. This individual has on the very last word after signing off anonymous, but I most of the time do not read the questions that are submitted to me until I get them and I read them live on the air for the first time. I usually don't have a chance to look them over first. So thankfully for this person, I was able to read it before I read it on the air, I should say. But this anonymous listener says, is it too simple to ask if election corresponds to our first birth in that as uncooperative in that birth as we were, that also is being born again, are we as unable? So I've heard that analogy before. That I think is perhaps even more specifically addressing regeneration or the rebirth, but
yes.
But it is still pertinent to election because we are not involved in our election in any way, shape, or form, other than being the subject of God's election, the ones being elected. We don't participate in that.
We don't. I mean, regeneration, being born from above, is a sovereign act of God. We don't cooperate within it at all, just as that person says, we don't collaborate with our parents in our first birth. It is something that God does. It is, I'm trying to think of the term and it won't come to me, Chris, but it's solely God's work. It's instant.
Monergism, I think you're probably thinking of.
Sorry?
Monergism.
Thank you. Absolutely. I mean, there's no doubt about the new birth being that. That's why, and I'll say the name, I thought Billy Graham's book, How to Be Born Again, was misnamed, because we don't make ourselves born again. We don't even desire it. We don't even know what the kingdom of God is before we're regenerate. As John says in chapter 3 of his gospel, it is purely a work of God. And, you know, I think that concern over this matter, concern over predestination, as Luther said, is a good sign. It's not proof that we're born again, but it is proof that the Holy Spirit is convicting us of something in the area of divine truth. And so, yes, being born again is entirely of God's choice, the Spirit's operation. We receive new birth. We don't in any way make a contribution to it.
By the way, Anonymous and also Donald from Jacksonville, North Carolina, you have both won by virtue of being first-time questioners. You both won a new, free, New American Standard Bible. So please give me your full mailing addresses and we'll have cvbbs.com, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com. We'll ship a copy of the New American Standard Bible to each of you as long as you provide me with your full mailing address. Let's see here. We have another listener. We have Bruce in Hoover, Alabama.
Yes. Hello, Bruce.
Oh, so you know Bruce.
I do know Bruce.
And Bruce asks, now, this is another question that I had a chance to glimpse at before reading it. I think this would take a very long time to answer this question. But he says, is there clear delineation between Christian denominations on unconditional election? In other words, which denominations claim to believe it and which denominations state that they do not? I would say, and I have a feeling you would agree with me, that sadly and tragically, although this was not the case historically, the vast majority of Protestantism and evangelicalism today rejects Reformed theology and specifically unconditional election in varying degrees. Some believe that it's a curiosity that should be left to the closed libraries and studies of intellectuals sitting there in their leather chairs drinking snifters of brandy and smoking cigars, or others believe it's something that makes them foam at the mouth and spit fire because they hate this teaching so much. But would you agree that, as I believe from my own experience, that the vast majority of those that identify as Christian today reject unconditional election and Calvinism, although it's on the rise. It is on the rise, not only in a good form, but also in a bad form, in a non-historical form. But at one time, Protestantism was dominated by it, but it seems that we are a tiny minority. Would you agree with that?
I would think so on the whole, Chris. It's a tragic situation. I think there are some believers who have heard caricatured versions of election and have concerns about that, and probably in their heart of hearts actually function as if they do. They rely utterly on God and on Christ. What they have heard are distorted presentations of election, because, as we say, election stops no one from coming to Christ. What stops them is their own obduracy, their own sinfulness. I've got something here that bears on this particular issue from Leon Morris, deceased.
In fact, could you read a quote from Leon when we return from our final break, because we've got to go to the final break.
Yes, sure.
Just don't forget about that quote. And we're going to our final break. If you'd like to join us, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back with more of Roger Salter after these messages from our sponsors.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books, manuscripts, and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years. The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient scripture, dissemination of scripture, to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability, and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience. Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States, reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible. HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website, historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible, an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed, the Geneva Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711.
Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest in buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Was your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. Buttafuoco & Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit. Buttafuoco & Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878.
Welcome back. By the way, folks, before I return to Roger, I just have a brief plug I want to give to Solid Ground Christian Books. Please always remember them to be your very first stop when you are looking for gifts to purchase for those you love, whether they are Christian or lost folks. Remember, even a book from Solid Ground Christian Books to a lost individual could be used by God to lead them to salvation. So please don't count out your loved ones that are not Christians when you are looking for gifts. Go to solid-ground-books.com, solid-ground-books.com. And I know that my guest, Roger Salter, loves Solid Ground Christian Books as well. Do you not, brother?
Absolutely. Absolutely, Chris.
And just don't forget that, folks, solid-ground-books.com. You were about to quote Leon Morris, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, just ever so quickly. It says, reference to the elect, and is the New Testament scholar, he says, the idea of being chosen points to God's saving act. Men do not elect or choose themselves. There is, in the essential meaning of the words, the thought of divine initiative. Unless God chooses to intervene and make some men his own, none will ever be saved. There is a tendency in some recent writing to minimize the significance of election. It is not surprising that in a man-centered age, some writers put their emphasis on what men may be expected to do. The term may be retained, but its meaning tortured out of all recognition. It must be insisted upon that the Gospels speak of an election in which God, not man, is sovereign.
Amen. By the way, just for matters of clarification, since the folks at either Twiss or Tweese House have joined us today by live streaming this interview on their Facebook page, the 17th century preacher from the Church of England, William Twiss, is it Twiss or Tweese?
I would say Twiss.
Okay. I'm sorry?
That's my pronunciation. I've never heard him referred to apart from reading about him.
Okay. I want to make sure that you have now about 2 minutes to summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today before we go off the air.
Ever so quickly, then, I'll do it rapidly. Chris, the second paragraph of the 17th article, the consolation of election. As the godly consideration of predestination and our election in Christ is full of sweet, pleasant, and unspeakable comfort to godly persons, and such as feel in themselves the working of the Spirit of Christ, mortifying the works of the flesh and their earthly members, and this is the bit I love, and drawing up their mind to high and heavenly things, as well because it doth greatly establish and confirm their faith of eternal salvation to be enjoyed through Christ, as because it doth fervently kindle their love towards God.
Praise God. Well, Roger, if you could please hold on the line after we go off the air, because I definitely want to have you back again very soon. I want to schedule another interview with you, and I have a feeling that many of our listeners are echoing my sentiments here and would love to have you back. Just want to remind our listeners that if you want to find out more about Roger and his ministry at St. Matthew's Anglican Church in Birmingham, Alabama, you can go to stmanglican.weebly.com. That's STM, which stands for St. Matthew's, stmanglican.weebly.com. stmanglican.weebly.com. You can also go to rogersalter.com as well. And I just want to thank you for being such a superb, informed guest. And I want to thank everybody who listened today. And I hope that you all remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far, far greater Savior than you are a sinner. We look forward to hearing from you and your questions for our guest tomorrow on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.